Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Fenway Fest at Fenway Park, it is Ken and Curtis, and we've got Garrett Crochet sitting in to our right, Curtis. And
yes.
You guys were just
a lefty
up
to our right.
Yep. Chatting Nashville and his whole offseason. But Garrett, welcome.
Thank you all.
Yeah,
thank
Ken had the wrong hometown for you. The guy that's supposed to fall in the details is asking about vacation spots.
Well, I've never been to the Delta, the bayou there. So
tell me about that bayou. Is it lovely this time of year? No, sorry. I apologize for Ken. But welcome to Boston. How's thank the you. First 48 hours been?
Yeah, it's been great. Really just getting to meet the teammates, getting to see the city has been great. Apparently, I brought the snow for the second time this offseason, so that's always good, I suppose.
Have you got to meet all your teammates now at this point, or most of them at least?
Yeah, I suppose there's a few that aren't in attendance, but I've met everybody that's here.
So what have people warned you about Boston before you arrived? Anything about the fan base, the media? Has there been any preconceived notions you've been delivered before you arrived here?
No, it was mainly about the snow that we got with us today. my first time coming here on the road was in 21, and we got snowed out the second week of April. So,
oh my God.
Hopefully we could avoid that this year.
That's true. So when did you find out about the trade? How does that work as a player? So do you got your agent calling? Is it the organization? How does that work?
Right. So my agent kind of gave me a heads up that things were in the medical phase, and that sort of thing falls through all the time. So it wasn't anything that I was surprised by, but it was kind of more of a shock when it actually went through. So I got a call from Getz over with the White Sox like 5 minutes after I received the call from my agent about the medicals. So I was caught off guard a little bit, but I knew what to expect. I knew it was coming. And then Breslow shortly after.
Do you check like the details of the trade to make sure like they gave up a lot for you? Because you know like you're worth it. They better give up like 3 first round picks or whatever it is. You know,
a little bit. I'd be lying if I said that I wasn't following potential trade packages. Because if anybody knows where I'm going to end up, it's I'm sure the media's got a decent idea. So I was following it a little bit as it went on. I definitely had an eye on that.
And did you feel like the Red Sox, I mean, they obviously wanted you. They went out of their way to bring you here. That's got to make you feel pretty good, huh?
Yeah, definitely. It's nice to go to a team where you're wanted. To be able to measure how wanted, I suppose, is cool. But regardless of that or not, you know, I'm just happy to be here.
So 34th round draft pick in Major League Baseball, is that correct? Or 17th round, 34th?
34th out of high school.
34th out of high school, right. So you're a guy that has earned it. You've come from, you know, you weren't like, you know, the everybody's number one Bryce Harper pick when you were 13 years old. What has this journey been like for you, and what are you looking forward to being in Boston, you know, an ace of a staff of a team that's, you know, looking to get into the postseason?
Yeah, the journey, you know, I was a late bloomer in high school. I didn't hit 90 miles an hour till a month after I graduated, and my number or my phone was ringing on like the fourth day of the draft, and I didn't even know it was the fourth day of the draft because why would I be aware that I'm throwing 90 miles an hour? And it was the Brewers that ended up taking me, wound up going to college and developing for a couple more years, and the rest is kind of, you know, what you see before you. What was the second part of your question?
So what are you looking to accomplish here? You know, what are you looking to be your, you know, as a guy that this organization believes is a cornerstone starter for you?
Yeah, I really just intend on keep building on what I've, accomplished in the past couple of years. Like I said, I was a late bloomer, so the success that I've had recently has come in rapid fashion. I intend to keep it that way.
How big of a challenge is it to go into year two as a starter and to stretch it out? Obviously, they had you on like an innings limit at the end of last year. Is that something that's on your mind? I got to prove it, or I need to be strong, or I need to be flexible, or how does that even work in the offseason?
In this game, you have to prove it every year. So it's not something that's different than what I've tried to do in the past, you know, just busting my butt in the offseason and, intending to throw as many innings as possible this year.
There's nothing – there are no restrictions now, right?
You're as far as I'm aware, that's kind of what we had in mind with doing what we did last year, you know, getting the inning space as high as we could, so then the future of the sky's the limit.
Yeah, Ken puts restrictions on what I can say.
I need to.
Who is your guy you grew up idolizing? Who's the pitcher you watched who you wanted to be?
Yeah, I wasn't a big baseball fan, so, like, me even attempting to name someone is tough. Obviously, I was a big fan of Kershaw, just being left-handed, but I also kind of grew up, like, in the southeast of Mississippi, so it was kind of the Braves were the only team that was around us, and I liked watching Mike Minor in that regard.
Yeah.
How do you like Fenway, and how does it profile for you? Looking ahead to the year, you got all the division, rivals change now. You're going to be facing the Yankees a lot. How do you think the season looks for you in terms of pitching here a lot?
Yeah, I'm excited. I've thrown in this ballpark before, so the first time that I do this year won't be the first time for me, which is nice to already have a level of comfort there. And throwing in the AL East in general is something that, you know, I've looked forward to for since the trade went through. It's, as a kid, you grow up watching baseball, and the AL East is Major League Baseball at its finest, so it's something I look forward to.
Devers, you gave him a lot of problems. Is that kind of what I had heard? He was very happy to hear that you were not he didn't have to face you anymore. I don't know if he's brought that up to you since you've signed.
No, I have yet to meet him. I've had success against him, yes. he's gotten a couple hits off me as well, so we're probably fairly even at the if you pulled up the numbers. But, yeah, it's nice to have him on my team. I feel very similar.
Yeah.
So we had your former teammate, now current teammate again, Liam Hendricks, on the Greg Hill Show this week, and it is a wonder to hear someone from Australia break down baseball. But does he ever stop talking, or is this just, I mean, he's great. He's entertaining. He should be a comedian, but he's a unique character.
Yeah, he's a chatty guy, and he loves baseball. So that's kind of what most of our conversations consist about, baseball, F1, hockey. He's got a wide array of knowledge in all these things. He's been teaching me a little bit along the way.
And he's healthy. He's ready to go finally. I think he's chomping at the bit to get on the mound this year.
Yeah, definitely. He's been through a lot these past few years, and he's persevered through it all. So it's a really admirable story, and I hope to see him, really have a strong season this year.
Do you engage in contract talks at this time? Let your agent handle it, or how does that all go for the future?
Yeah, for me, personally, I'm looking forward to spring training. That sort of thing is pretty common this time of year, and when it comes, we'll be ready for it. But as of right now, I'm just focusing on spring.
Got the spring place picked out and everything?
Yeah, already. Looking forward to being over in Fort Myers, seeing what Florida spring training is like. This is a first for me.
Well,
nice. Well, we'll be down there with the Greg Hill Show in about a month, so hope to speak to you then. But
awesome.
Welcome to Boston.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
Garrett Crochet, newest Red Sox and lefty. He's ready to go. Kenny Curtis, and we go to trending with Jacob. Well, it's a little bonus, Kenny Curtis, today at Fenway Fest with you until 1 o'clock. I believe next week we start our two-hour tour.
That's right. Nice. And tomorrow I just got word Garrett Crochet at Giggles.
He is an intimidating guy, though, isn't he? Big presence. Can you imagine facing him, lefty? You didn't find him to be?
I mean, nice guy.
Oh, he looked like a nice guy. Sounded like a nice guy. Looked like an intimidating guy.
I don't know. It's the French last name. It can't be intimidating.
Well, Breslow, I thought was as loose as I've seen and heard him in a little while.
I do think that when you asked Cora, it was one of your rare good questions, about the relationship and how that structure is and the power.
Can he buy the groceries?
He basically said that he knows everything, he follows the sport, and he wants to be heard. He wasn't heard with Bloom, whomever was, to blame for that.
Right.
And he and Breslow are...
Bloom just didn't get anything done. I think Bloom listened, but then he would just, panic and not spend and not deal. He wouldn't get anything done.
Yeah. My new thing this year is not to keep saying they've changed, because they have. You admit it. Everybody says it. They're not what they used to be in terms of just ready, set, they're not Steve Cohen. They used to be sort of like him. They're not.
Right.
That doesn't mean they can't be successful, and I'm not going to spend the rest of my life trying to point out to them something they know they are but won't admit.
Yeah.
So,
but they want to be the Bruins. They want to be competitive every year.
Matt,
that's their goal. They don't want to be Keith and Marsh.
There is a feeling today. Last year it felt like the most popular guy on the team was getting ready to go to college, and he just had to deal with this year before he left. And now it feels like that guy has taken up residence. He's here. And Alex Cora, he really is the sort of, not the inflection point, but he is the zeitgeist. He is the guy that is the most popular, the face of this organization, until everybody gets to know Garrett Crochet. and I'm sorry, Rafi Devers, is Alex Cora. He's a guy that's one here as a player, one here as a manager. People see him as they are when they support this team. And the fact that he is now comfortably in a role with someone like Craig Breslow, with a team that is now, what I think more than anything, more than the money, more than Alex discussed his wife and his kids and not moving to the West Coast. You can listen to the interview. I thought it was very good. The biggest reason Alex Cora signed the extension is because Breslow allows him a voice, or the organization allows him a voice with Breslow, and he sees the guys that were years ago on the cusp of getting here. So it's not just that he, any one of those things. I think it's the confluence of those events are what led him to decide to be here for another three seasons.
Well, this will shock you. It's what has me sort of optimistic here about the future going forward. The fact that Cora's got some say, he's here for a while, and they're hearing him. Now, go over to Vrabel.
But I do think, just quickly, but there is a chance that this gets bumpy if Bregman isn't here.
Cora definitely wants Bregman, and they're not pulling the trigger, and I think they're trying to get his price to come down, but I'm not sure that it's going to happen, and if they lose out on him and he goes to Detroit or wherever, Cora might be pissed about that.
Right. I mean, so
you're right.
Everything is, you know, we're good today, Ken, but who knows?
Right.
You know, it is not until this team is a legitimate threat, and until this team in the second half of season plays as well or better than they did in the first, these questions will persist.
Yeah, well, their pitching staff was so bad last year. They didn't have enough. They ran out of gas. Everybody knew it. And Devers, to Cora's point, was a mess at the second half of the year. So those two things changed.
Do you think they regret the Devers deal today?
I don't think they regret it, but I think...
Would they do it again?
They had to. At the time, they had to, right? Because of the Zane
thing. I'm not asking. I'm saying today.
Yeah, so yes, rewind the clock. Yes, they would have done it. But I think they have concerns about his willingness to move to first.
Yeah, I just think if you're going to be a $300 million guy, you got to be the face of everything. And I think that I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they're worried he's going to hold up. Now, but over to Vrabel. So do you see a situation just like this where Vrabel comes in and he's Cora? He's got some say. He's got the cachet of having played here. He is the zeitgeist of the Patriots. Is that the obvious choice? And does he come in and get a little control? Does he get Belichick light?
Yeah, I think it's the only way they're going to get him. And when you're the Patriots, what do you do when a guy demands more money? You say, how about we give you power instead?
give you a couple perks.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you gave me
one free lunch
on the roadshow.
Well, 110 gift cards are the best.
Apex, go there tomorrow.
Okay.
But, you know, I just think the Patriots have, not only did they bungle it this past weekend in terms of, you know, we've been over the idiocy with the simultaneous tweet of the Rooney Rule candidates to the Aaron Glenn canceling on them. But what they really did was give Vrabel everything he wanted in terms of leverage.
Yeah.
They don't have a backup.
Well, they have Ben Johnson.
Right. But Ben Johnson, my guess, you only have leverage when the player that you or the coach or player you want doesn't have other suitors.
And I get the sense the Bears are going to wait him out, right? The Bears want him. They'll wait through the NFC Championship game. They're not in no hurry.
See who's getting a ton of money as the Jets guy?
Who?
Ulbrich.
Oh, is he? Yeah.
I mean, in terms of betting markets, they're saying Ulbrich is going to be retained.
Well, Saleh's out there. That was a Rich Keefe pick for D.C. Bring him in as defensive coordinator.
If you were to say right now, I think the Patriots are the second best franchise in the AFC East, though, still. I think they're a better franchise than the Dolphins, and they're a better franchise than the Jets. And all the talk, too, like, and Wiggy and I have gone back and forth on this, and I've apologized for saying Marvin Harrison Jr. over Drake May.
Thank you.
You look at...
Wrong again, Curtis.
You said to me the Chiefs... You had a whole show one day about the Chiefs not winning after they traded Tyreek Hill.
Well, they're not going to win this year.
Tyreek Hill, Steph Diggs, those guys, you can't tell me they're the elixir for a champion when the teams that lost them got better. And I
receivers in general or just those players?
That level. Like, T. Higgins, I think, is a notch below. If you look at Steph Diggs and Tyreek Hill, those are top three, top 10, top five receivers at the time they were dealt.
Yeah.
Whereas, I look at Justin Jefferson, great player, unbelievable. But
well, they're going to have a problem next year with that because there's no there. Even if they have,
would you trade a first round pick for T. Higgins?
No, I would draft a future first maybe. I would draft Abdul Carter. They need a pass rush, and that is an obvious guy, and he's going to fall to you at four, and that's just. That's what they should do. They don't screw it up.
Yeah.
And now, so if Can you trade? You could trade a future, I guess, in this year's draft. That's a tough one because I agree with you. He's not elite.
If I'm doing this job, like, I don't know why there aren't more conditional trades. Like, I know this is, you know, we're whistling past the graveyard here, but you had when Bill Belichick was looking for an NFL gig, right? People were terrified to give him the power he had here. The Falcons, you know, the people in the organization were saying, no, we don't want to do this. What you do is if Bill Belichick hits X number of wins or wins X number of playoff games, he retains the power. If he doesn't, he loses it. What's the downside?
Yeah.
And if you're trading for Tyreek Hill, for T. Higgins, let's say you give up a second in 2026.
Well, Tyreek Hill, you're saying?
No, I'm saying T. Higgins.
Well, T. Higgins is a free agent, right?
But couldn't they franchise and trade him?
You could franchise him, yes. I guess they could, yeah.
I mean, why would you just let him walk?
Yeah.
Either way, if you're getting a great receiver, trade a future second that becomes a first if they hit X number of stats.
Yeah.
Why not?
But I think Vrabel, I don't know, do you think Vrabel's going to come in and want to get the defense back to respectability in the sense
that... Wasn't the cause of his departure from the Titans the fact that they dealt A.J. Brown?
That's true. It was part of it. They sucked after he left.
So. I mean, here's the thing. It's like, if the Patriots just have to be average at drafting, and they'll be much better.
Great.
I mean, that I know I mentioned it, but that tweet from Savage Boston, which had the Pro Bowl players, so players that were drafted by the team making the Pro Bowl on that team from 2014 to 2023, including players drafted before that, the Patriots were dead last. They have been awful. And that's with the greatest coach, people say, of all time, and the greatest quarterback of all time.
You can join the show, 617-779-7937. At Fenway Fest, Ken and Curtis, Bradfo at 1. We have David Ortiz scheduled to join us at 12:45 today, so we'll see if that comes to fruition.
I just saw him walk outside, and Bradford was cleaning his butt. I don't know why that was going on.
It's a little personal. Lou Maloney, going to join Rob at the top of the 1 o'clock hour, and then he's got Liam Hendricks, Tristan Casas, Christian Campbell, and Roman Anthony.
You know what I would say today? Not boring.
What's not boring?
Baseball.
Oh, it's never boring. You just try to smear its reputation.
No, I mean...
You and Doug are fired up. Doug Lane can't wait to get to Fort Myers.
Oh,
he is
really?
Leaving in like 2 weeks.
Oh, there. Look, I literally said it's like the bat signal.
He is here. Bradfo. And so Ortiz didn't get the job done in terms of getting Soto here. So we can ask him about that. He didn't make the trip on the...
Well, Sam took a call while he was on with us, and I don't know who he was talking to. But have you heard Ted Williams before with Juan Soto?
I mean, I think he was just throwing out... Well, I guess I've never heard Sam say that.
I mean, that is high praise.
Yeah.
Do you think if they'd given him a tunnel instead of another year, he would have signed?
NFL games this weekend. Today, you get Chargers, Texans, Steelers, Ravens on our air after Bradfo's done. Do you find either of those two compelling?
I feel like every year the Texans play in a crappy playoff game that I'm not that interested in.
Yeah, I think tomorrow you get the better games.
The 4 o'clock game tomorrow is the one. Eagles.
Packers, Eagles.
Yeah.
And Commanders, Bucks is kind of a toss-up. And then Vikings-Rams is moved to Monday, so you get a bunch of games this week.
That's always been Monday.
Move site on Monday.
Commanders-Bucks, by the way, I like the Commanders.
I do, too.
I think I don't know, there's a Baker Mayfield thing. Not exactly thrilled with him.
Well, why don't we step aside a little early here, because David Ortiz is scheduled to join us.
Perfect.
So we'll talk to Big Poppy for as long as we can, when we can. And you're here till 1?
I'll be here till 1. I may have to leave early if the James man is not arriving, but I will let you know.
All right, we are at Fenway Fest. At Fenway Park, it's the Kenny Curtis Show. So far, the reviews of the MGM Netflix chat over at...
Powwow.
Yeah, the Powwow at 10 o'clock were very positive. Fans coming past us here at Fenway Fest, Curtis, and they've been giving good reviews. It was great, got me fired up for the season sort of thing.
Right.
So I know we have been embedded in it, talking to Craig Breslow, great interview. Go back and listen on the Odyssey app just around noon. Alex Cora, Sam Kennedy, and we'll have David Ortiz here. And you can't... not get excited about baseball talking to David Ortiz.
Well, I remember, I think it was Kevin Millar who discussed the Netflix 2004 retrospective with the Barnacle Boys, and it was the fact that they included the 03 team, which is what made it desirable for Kevin Millar, who's been in every, you know, Cowboy Up docuseries ever. And I may be conflating guests, but I think it was Sam Kennedy who told us that the 03 team may have been more talented than the 04 team.
Yeah.
And that team was the effing balls. That was the breakout of David Ortiz. The ALDS against the A's was phenomenal. The pitch that Derek Lowe threw to strike out Terrence Long, the sinker that, like, dove right back last second, stood there looking at the crotch shot. The whole thing was phenomenal. So that was where – and it's interesting because given the status of the two teams that we've been talking about the most, the Patriots and the Red Sox,
yep,
that 03 season – was the last real time that the Red Sox outshined whatever, because you had the Patriots in 03 on their way to a second championship, and you had the Patriots, and then you had, it was the Patriots Titans at Gillette, I believe, and it was the Red Sox and A's at Fenway Park, and it was the Red Sox were down 2-0 coming home. Trot Nixon hit the walk-off in extra innings of game 3. Game 4, Red Sox were down 2 in the 8th inning. Ortiz had a double on a play that Terrence Long should have caught. The ball went over his head in right field. And there was a cheer at Gillette Stadium after a good play by the Titans. And that famously went up their caboose. So that was the Ortiz, really, the last big moment of the...
Do you think they've mended fences, the Red Sox brass and Patriots brass? It's not as... It's not what it once was. Well,
I think just like their teams are not as competitive anymore.
Yeah.
So,
but I do like you start every year with the joke, at least you're not the Patriots.
Right.
Tom Warner. We haven't – no Tom Warner this year, but he liked that joke.
Oh, he loved it.
He really liked that.
He said, more Curtis. it's true, though. I mean, the Patriots – what the Red Sox have done is more difficult than what the Patriots did, despite it being 2 championships less. Because you had the Red Sox win a Super, we had the Red Sox win a World Series with Terry Francona, John Farrell, Alex Cora, with Theo Epstein, Ben Sherrington, Dave Dombrowski. The Patriots won them all with Brady and Bill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're going to talk about an organization's ability to win, it can't just be 2 guys. It has to be that you'd win it with other people.
Are you convinced Brady will step aside after the end of the year, Fox contract done? He's getting too involved with the Raiders now. The signs are just everywhere. He is going to be massively involved. It's going to be Vegas Tom. It is going to be hard, I think, for some Patriots fans to accept that.
Are you kidding me? If Bill join Tom, do you know what the Raiders' goal is?
What, to steal New England fans?
No, to beat the Chiefs.
Oh.
Who roots against the Chiefs more than Patriots fans?
Yeah, but to see Tom in silver and black and, like, strutting around the facility.
Once again, you have no idea what you're talking about. Patriots fans will be supportive of Brady's desire to win there as long as he's not beating the Patriots.
Is there something – you asked this a couple weeks ago. Brady and Kraft, do you think there's some friction there?
No, they do not get along.
Really?
I mean, not that – they don't not – I mean, let me put it this way. They are not friendly.
So, like, we had the Brady night, Brady day.
I was told that was it. Dunsky.
Really?
No, statue day, none of that.
No statue day?
Nope.
What do you mean no statue day? They've promised that.
Tom Brady, that was it. He came back. He did what he wanted.
He's not coming back for the statue?
I was told no.
Really? Did you say this on the morning show?
Yeah. I mean, you listen a lot. I can tell.
I missed that segment.
Yeah, it was right after Courtney.
Okay. So you're telling me. Is this, they're going to still build the statue, or now are they delaying that because he's not showing up?
They're actually going to build a statue of Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, well, honestly. And I wonder if Vrabel and, like, Ortiz are friends from playing together for all those in the same city for some of the years. Those two are simpatico.
That is true. Joe Castiglione got more days than Tom Brady. Rightfully so, though. I mean, can you believe it?
So let me wrap my head around this. So they were going to have a statue for Brady.
Yes, I think they're still going to have a statue.
Brady came back for Brady Day,
but and got half the gate.
And since then, he's done. Or they're not offering. He was holding.
What is the one thing that everybody said was going to happen? What's the one thing you do as an organization that's so bullcrap, but everybody does it when you return after leaving?
They're taking too much credit for.
No, you sign a 1-day contract to end your career with that team.
Oh yeah,
did that happen?
No, it didn't.
Right. Why do you think it didn't happen? Because Kraft didn't want
Brady's
to do it.
Brady's a sourpuss. What did Danny call him? Postface.
I don't know. But the reason he didn't is because he's not into doing things. Like, it was Bill Belichick's decision, but Robert Kraft could have interceded. Like, that's... you know what the craziest
thing
is? Yes,
but it's so weird you would have Brady Day. They would seemingly get along. They would share the gate. And now you're going to have a statue for him, and Tom won't come back for that.
So here's, like, the craziest thing is, so when you go back and look at Tom Brady's numbers when he left the Patriots, right? So first of all,
had a great offensive coordinator in Bruce Arians.
The Patriots have had 51 regular season losses in the 5 seasons since Tom Brady left.
Okay, we get it. But
from 2006 through 2019, they had 50.
Well, so why does Brady hold that grudge against the Crafts for that? I mean, I just don't understand. I don't get a lot of this. I don't get his...
It's not a grudge. He's just, he doesn't have the feelings of love for these people. Like, it's different. It's not a grudge
but
to
like,
say...
If we build a statue someday outside the EEI complex...
You should.
Even if decades from now you've been estranged.
In their last 57 games played, Tom Brady at the ages of 43, 44, and 45. Like, no matter where we are, we end here.
You're
I don't
just
know
giving stats, like, randomly.
Tom Brady threw 123 touchdowns, 38 interceptions, a passer rating of 108. Patrick Mahomes... In that same span, in his prime, 114 touchdowns, 41 interceptions, a passer rating of 96.
Right. So come back and celebrate all those stats.
He doesn't celebrate the guy that forced him to do it in Tampa. What don't you understand?
They're going to celebrate him by giving him a statue in front of the stadium.
Right. God love it. Great.
And Brady's. You're telling me Brady's not coming back for it?
I'm telling you that all the Brady days are done.
I just don't get it. I don't understand it. I mean, I don't understand why Brady's reaching out to Bill to coach his team. I don't understand why Brady's not coming back to Gillette. It's just bizarre. The whole saga is just bizarre. Anyway, put that off to the side. Because
right.
We've got Big Poppy coming in.
Here he is.
And, of course, he's going to give Bradford the first dap.
Right.
See, that is the respect. How about that respect for Rob Bradford and the baseball?
He just gave him his keys to go get the car washed.
All right, so should we ask him about the Soto deal and why it didn't get done?
I want to know what happened,
okay.
How it went down, and I want to know his thoughts on all these docuseries that they've put together.
Yeah, do you think he's going to be – he's got to be featured somewhat in this new one.
Well, I mean, just the 04 one.
Well, the 04 one, obviously, but the new ones that are coming out, I would think they have him somewhere
right.
As representing the past and the legacy of the franchise.
All right.
But he always looks great, man. Looks fantastic.
I think he's coming around. Bradford just gave him
he
another tap.
Has the shades. Hi, David.
David, how are you?
Great to see you as always.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Have a seat, Doug.
A seat right there, David, if you could.
And looking great, looking sharp.
You look
here,
good, David.
Here in the snow.
You ready to go?
Oh, man.
You got a couple of swings left in there?
No, not at all. My kids are trying to get the last I have out of me, and I'm like, hey, you guys here, I watch.
Oh, man. Well, it's great to see you.
Good seeing you, too.
So we've been talking a little bit because we all were able to relive the great 04 season with the Netflix series that came out this year.
That's right.
Do you enjoy these? Do you go back into them? Do you like being a part of those? What's your perspective as a guy that was the catalyst for those teams looking back on it 20 years later?
You know what? It's good to go back in those days, especially on the Netflix series and when I sit down and watch it sometimes, I get caught up on things that I wasn't paying attention before about that, you know what I'm saying? So it's good to watch it and getting to know that the fans, like I got a lot of feedback from people telling me that, wow, that was amazing, that was unbelievable, you know, because you go through the World Series, you know, you talk about it for a year or two, or probably for a year after. I mean, this World Series that we won in 04 was a very important one, so it was the whole talk for a while. But at some point, you know, people just starting to forget about what happened, and then 20 years later, you coming out with a series. A lot of people get caught up in a lot of things that they never realized back then.
Right.
So people are always giving you feedback about it. It's awesome.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing because I was a junior in college in 04 in Boston, and you know, what you guys beat that year wasn't just the Yankees. It wasn't the Cardinals. It was all the ghosts, all the crap, all the things that we were raised to expect of bad things to happen. What you guys were able to do was exercise all these you beat the Yankees. You swept the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. You know, you did all that. But it was more than that. It was like you gave this region the ability to think that the teams will actually come through and win in a big spot.
I mean, where you play any sport, especially baseball, which is a very tough sport, the last thing that you can lose is your confidence level. You know, you got to maintain, you got to try to keep up with your confidence level because you can go from the worst to the best if you keep it up. I mean, there's a lot of people that just because the result their result that they are expecting in us is not instantly right there, then they walk away from their confidence. And that is when everything strikes. So, me, while I play, I always thought about, okay, this ain't over until the last hour is get to be done. You know, and then you have the opportunity to come in the next day with a fresh mind and continue trying, you know what I'm saying? So that's the way I used to look at the game. And yes, I mean, those guys give us a beat down at the very beginning of the series, the first three games. And matter of fact, the third game that they won, it was fireworks everywhere. They scored like, what, 18 runs that 19. Game? So, yeah, that kind of buried your confidence level, but it's all up to you. It's all up to you if you want to give up. I mean, we had a crazy guy on the team named Kevin Millar. That guy never he was talking the whole time. This is our time. This is it. I can hear him talking still right now. You know, it was and he believed that we can do it, and it happens.
Can we agree Netflix used too much of Kevin, though, not enough David Ortiz?
I think it was better him being on it because he got the personality to talk all day with nonstop, you know. So I think he did an awesome job, and I was laughing. I was crying laughing.
So I know you're obviously supremely confident. You know, what you did yourself was superhuman almost in that series. When Damon hit the grand slam in Game 7 of the ALCS, were you finally like, holy, we actually could do this?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, back to the confidence. We walk out of the clubhouse. A friend of mine that is a reporter from the Dominican, he went to the Yankees clubhouse before that game, and he went to our clubhouse. And he said this to me. I know you guys were going to win that series. And I'm like, how come? And he say, when I walk into the Yankee clubhouse, it looked like they were having a funeral right there. When I walk into you guys' clubhouse, you guys look like you guys already won it. The energy level, they were beat down before the game even began. And that is dangerous. You know, Johnny came out, bam, came out hot. Oof. Bomb.
But you
right
know what?
Away, we just to finish buried them, you know, like.
But you know what we don't talk about enough, because there were so many big hits, and it's your fault because you had too many of them. But Dale sends Johnny. Johnny gets strung out.
Mm-hmm.
And Yankee Stadium all of a sudden is alive.
Yes.
Runner on first. The next pitch, before they could even sit down, you hit it out.
Bam.
I mean, that is obviously 2-0 wasn't enough, but that is one that gets forgotten by you.
So, back to the confidence. Sometimes that play kind of shut you down. But our confidence level was so high. That wasn't going to stop us.
It was almost like you were like, no, shut up, people.
No, yeah,
we're winning
okay,
this game.
Forget that. Next. Yeah. I mean, we were, you know, we came out hot. They make us believe that we can do it. And remember, don't forget about what happened to us the year before.
Right.
Same game 7.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all that carryover.
How much did that help you having had that awful experience a year ago going into the exact – I mean, the odds of that happening are none, but going into that second game?
You know what? True story. 2003, after we played game 6 over there, which it was at 4 p.m., I went back to the hotel. Like, I'm – all my family were there, and I was stressing out so much that I never got out of the room. Like, I couldn't even sleep thinking about how I want to execute and what I want to do the next day. I was wear out the next day because I stressed out so much. And the following year, game 6, same time, we finished them all. My family were there. I told my family, let's go to our friend restaurant in Queens, Rubio Cafe. That's my really good friend from the Dominican. He have a restaurant there, and we sit down there to have a dinner. I was having some wine, this and that. We had a great time. We went there to have dinner, and we left out of there like around 1:30 in the morning. And I remember when I was on my way out, it was like three Yankee fans sitting in the table watching – the highlights, and one of them said to me, "We're gonna do exactly the same thing that we did to you guys last year."
Oh, boy!
He said that to me.
Oh.
And I was with my family, and I'm a trash talker right there when I want to be. Sometimes I told him, "I'm going deep in my first at bat tomorrow. How about that?"
Oh,
and I
no
did
way!
And I did it. To make a long story short, the owner of the restaurant, my boy, he was there when I was walking the way out. And next day, after the game, he was waiting for me at the stadium. He was like, "Brother, you told that guy that you were going to go deep in your first at-bat."
You called your shot?
I told him, "Hey, I don't know what it was, you know, but my confidence level was that high. You know, I mean, I was just like..."
You met Babe with Babe.
Well, probably.
You ever just text Jeter, like, in the middle of the night? Do you have his number, and you just send him, like, a nasty text?
Oh, my God, man. I'm always messing with my boy, yeah. I mean, now that we work together, we have built up a really good relationship. Jeter is a gentleman. He's a really good guy. And I'm always messing with him. Always. I'm always giving him a hard time.
Now, you mentioned the Dominican. Soto, they were in, but they didn't get it done. What happened? What was just too much money from the Mets? Just what happened?
$800 million, man. That's what happened.
did the Red Sox have a chance? Was there any point where you thought they're in it?
Well, when the conversation began, everybody thought that not only us. I mean, when you were talking about $500-600 million, which is something that it was in another type of level, you would think. I mean, John in the front office, Sam, I mean, they were trying hard. I mean, I can tell you because I was in the middle of it in some, you know, moments. But once that went past Otani contract, you know, and all that, I went like, well... Let's go with our Soto.
I know you got to run.
Yeah.
I know you got to run, but thanks so much. Wait, anytime you want to talk 0407, there is not enough time in the day to relive what you executed, the greatest story in Boston sports history. So always great to see you, David.
Hey, good to see you guys.
Thanks, David Ortiz.
All right, bye.
All right, Poppy. All right, Curtis, I know you got to run. Bradco is next. Baseball isn't boring. Don't go anywhere with Lou Maloney, too. See you.